House, please come to order. Members indicate their presence by voting. Any member failed to vote? Madam Clerk?
28 members present.
Do we have a quorum to conduct business, Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, may the General reflect that Representative Kapsner has previously been excused from the call of the House today. And, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Jewell be excused from the call of the House today.
Without objection, both of those members will be shown as excused from the call of the House today. Mr. Minority Leader.
If I might have leave of the floor for a special order right at this moment.
Representative Kutula.
Thank you. One of our members, who is an extremely dear person to all of us, but particularly to the minority leader, Representative Jewell, was medevaced this morning to Anchorage with had a heart attack. So at this point, we'd just like the recognition and a moment of silence and thought on his behalf.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Now that I can, I just ask that whoever it is watch over and heal our friend, the one we call Reggie, the one who is a Sigaruktuk. He's so special. In the prayer of my people, Shema Yisrael. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Certainly our prayers go out to Reggie and his family. Leading the invocation today is Pastor Robert Sherwood of the Church of the Nazarene. Members, please rise.
Let us pray. In Leviticus 22, Yahweh spoke to Moses, and he said, "Tell this to Aaron and his sons, and to all the sons of Israel. If anyone offers to Yahweh a communion sacrifice, either to fulfill a vow or as a voluntary offering, the animal from the herd or from the flock must be without blemish if it is to be acceptable. No defect must be found in it. You must not offer to Yahweh an animal that is blind, lame, mutilated, ulcerous, or suffering from skin disease or sore. No part of such animal shall be laid on the altar as a burnt offering to Yahweh." God makes it clear to us that he does not want our leftovers. He wants our best. Like the lady representative from Willow racing in four Iditarods, or the old chaplain before you running with teenagers and special ops in Desert Storm. This is God's way of dealing with his people. If we give him our best, he blesses us and takes care of our every need. If we hold back from him and give him our leftovers, he will hold back his blessing from us. God does not want our doggy bags or our spare change. He wants you. Father, we ask you to heal Reggie Jewell and restore him to full health and to this community. In the name of our Lord and Savior, amen.
Mr. Anderson, please lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread on the journal.
Without objection, prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, would you please certify the journal? Previous legislative day.
I certify the correctness of the journal for the 106th legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the previous day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, journal will be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk. Are there guests for introduction? Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I may be poaching here a little bit. Although this gentleman was my constituent for 8 years that I was on the Anchorage Assembly, many of you may have eaten at his restaurant. I'd like to introduce Maurice McDonald, the owner of O'Brady's Burger and Brew in Anchorage, and he's in the gallery right behind me.
Are there further guests for introduction? Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor.
Are there messages from the other body?
A message dated May 6th stating the Senate has passed and returned House Bill 34, negotiated regulation making, CS for House Bill 212, judiciary, power of appointment, trust and creditors, CS for House Bill 249, Jude Am, restraint of trade costs and attorney fees. And a message dated May 6th stating the Senate has passed the following, CS for House Bill 127, State Affairs, with the following amendment, Senate CS for CS for House Bill 127, State Affairs, amended Senate, roadside memorials within the right-of-way of State Highway. There are no further messages from the other body.
Other communications?
There are no communications.
Under communications, in accordance with Rule 42A of the Alaska State Legislature's Uniform Rules, I'm granting limited powers of free conference to the finance members who have been appointed to the committee to deal with House Bill 75, the operating budget, and House Bill 76, mental health legislation as well. Madam Clerk, are there reports of standing committees?
The Health, Education, and Social Services has, or Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has reviewed the qualification of Cynthia Curran to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission. The report was signed by Representative Wilson, Chair, Representative Cisnes, Eaton, and Wolf. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee has considered House Bill 108, Screening Newborns for Hearing Ability, attaches a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note recommending due pass Coghill, Seaton, and Wilson. No recommendation, Wolf. The report was signed by Wilson, Chair. House Bill 108 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 198, royalty reduction of certain oil, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 198, oil and gas, with the same title. Recommending due pass Lynn, Morgan, Hines, Wolf, and Fate. The report was signed by Fate, Chair, sponsor substitute for House Bill 198 as a further referral to the Finance Committee. Finance Committee has considered House Bill 215, repeal 1% for art, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 215, State Affairs, with a new title. Recommending due pass Meyer, Hawker, Stoltz, Croft, Whitaker, Foster, Chenault. Report was signed by Meyer, Vice Chair. House Bill 215 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 226, Organic Food, attaches a fiscal note recommending due pass Hawker, Stoltz, Croft, Moses, Chenault, Whitaker, Foster, and Harris. The report was signed by Harris, co-chair. House Bill 226 has no further referral. Transportation Committee has considered House Bill 230, political signs on private property, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 230, transportation, with the same title, attaches a zero fiscal note, recommending due pass Og, Kukesh, Fate, Holm, no recommendation, Coring, and Masick. The report was signed by Holm and Masick, co-chairs House Bill 230, as a further referral to the State Affairs Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 250, State Contracts, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 250 Finance with the same title. Recommending DuPass, Meyer, Croft, and Williams. No recommendations, Stoltz, Jewell, and Chenault. The report was signed by Williams, co-chair. House Bill 250 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 245, Suits and Claims, Military, Fire, and Defense. Recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 245, Judiciary, with a new title. Recommending DuPass, McGuire. Do not pass, Gruenberg, and Garrett. No recommendation, Samuels, Holm, and Ogg. The report was signed by McGuire, Chair. House Bill 245 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Judiciary Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 10, Pledge of Allegiance Resolution. Recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 10, Judiciary, with the same title. Recommending DuPass, Samuels, Holm, Guerra, Ogg, Gruenberg, and McGuire. The report was signed by McGuire, Chair. Senate Joint Resolution 10 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 16, In Federal Ethanol Subsidy. Recommend DuPass, Seaton, Dahlstrom, Holm, and Wyrock. The report was signed by Wyrock, Chair. Senate Joint Resolution 16 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Bill 53, Revoke Driver's License for Fatal Accident, recommending DuPass, Ogg, Kukesh, Coring, Fate, and Holm. The report was signed by Holm, co-chair. Senate Bill 53 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 151, Labor and Commerce, Regulation of Natural Gas Pipelines, recommending DuPass, Lynn, Gatto, Hines, Morgan, Guttenberg, Curtula, and Fate. The report was signed by Fate Chair. Senate Bill 151 has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Other reports of special committees.
The Conference Committee considering Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 75, Finance Amended, BRF Submatch failed, and CS for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 76, Finance, and Senate CS for CS for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 75, Finance, BRF Submatch failed, Senate, and Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 76, Finance Amended, Senate Operating Budget and Mental Health Budget respectfully request limited powers of free conference on specific points that on specific points as attached and spread will be spread in the journal.
As indicated earlier, I am granting limited powers of free conference to the conference committee on those two matters on the specific points identified in the written request.
There are no further reports of special committees.
Are there citations or resolutions for introduction?
Citation honoring the Craig Panthers, Craig Boys basketball team by Representative Kukesh, In Memoriam Joyce Ann Parkerson by Senator Green and Representative Stoltz, In Memoriam William Charles Grover Jr. by Senator Taylor and Representative Wilson. House Joint Resolution 28. By Representative Hines, urging the United States Congress to support the granting of official observer status to the Republic of China at the World Health Assembly Annual Conference to be held at Geneva, Switzerland in May 2003, and to support negotiations of a free trade agreement with the Republic of China.
Refer to the House Special Committee on Economic Development, International Trade, and Tourism.
There are no further bills or citations or resolutions for introduction.
We have bills for introduction.
House Bill 302 by Representative Guerra, entitled An Act Relating to a Maximum Pupil-Teacher Ratio in Public Schools Relating to Duties of School Boards and Providing for an Effective Date.
House Special Committee on Education, Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 303 by Representatives Ogg and Gruenberg, entitled An Act Relating to Youth Courts and to the Recommended Use of Criminal Fines to Fund the Activities of Youth Courts and Relating to Accounting for Criminal Fines.
Judiciary and Finance.
House Bill 304 by Representative Coghill, entitled An Act Naming the Jack Coghill Bridge to the Interior.
Transportation and State Affairs.
House Bill 305 by the House Labor and Commerce Committee entitled An Act Relating to the Calculation and Payment of Unemployment Compensation Benefits and Providing for an Effective Date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 306.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief of these?
House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Without objection, I would like to move back up the calendar to reports of standing committees. Madam Clerk.
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 271, Passenger Vehicle Rental Tax, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 271, Finance, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note recommending do pass Meyerhawker, Stoltz, Harris, Williams, do not pass Croft, no recommendation, Chenault, Whitaker, and Foster, amend Moses. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. House Bill 271 has no further referral. There are no further standing committee reports.
I'll stand at ease for a moment. To order. Also under report of standing committees, I am giving House Bill 300 an additional referral to the Special Committee on Economic, Trade, and Tourism. I would like that to be the first committee of referral.
We have a little of these.
House, please come back to order.
May
Representative Petula.
Thank you, Mr.
Without objection, we'll move up the calendar to introduction of guests.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's really my great honor on behalf of the other representative from Juneau and myself to introduce a group of guests today. And rather than read everyone's names, because they're quite a rowdy group back here, I'm just going to ask them all to stand. But this is Ms. Massey's fifth grade class from Harborview Elementary, where my sister Anna went to school. They're studying government, and I might also ask the representatives who have been seen helping them cheat on their exam to quit it. So if you'll help me recognize the students in heaven's name. Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Curtula. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And before she escapes out the back door, one of their mothers is here, too. And she is a great member of my staff, and I think most of you know. She also happens to be a very fine musician. And just generally around all the time, Terry Tibbet and her daughter, Katie. Please help me.
Representative Foster.
Yes, sir. In the Pradovich Gallery, I've got Chuck Degnan from Uniclete with the Coastal Zone Management Group there. He's also a former member of this body, having served two terms in the 1970s. If you'll please help me welcome him to Juneau.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Having completed her lobbying efforts. Representative Degnan, as a former member of this body, it gives me a great deal of honor to extend the privilege of the floor to you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring greetings from Uniclete, Alaska, and Bering Straits Coastal Resource Service area. We wish you well in your deliberations, and we wish you good health. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are there further guests for introduction? Seeing none, that brings us back down the calendar to bills for introduction. Madam Clerk.
House Bill 306 by Representative Samuels by request entitled An Act Relating to the Use of Pharmaceutical Agents by Optometrists.
Labor and Commerce. House, please come back to order. House Bill 306 will be referred to the HES Committee. Madam Clerk.
House Bill 307 by Representative McGuire entitled An Act Relating to Employment of Sex Offenders and Child Kidnappers.
State Affairs and Labor and Commerce.
There are no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 24 by Representatives Wyrock and Whitaker and Coghill, entitled An Act Relating to Intergovernmental Agreements Regarding Management of Fish or Game. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 24 Resources with the new title attached to zero fiscal note, recommending do pass Hines, Gatto, Lynn, and Fate. No recommendation for Tula, Guttenberg, and Masick. The report was signed by Fate Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 24 Judiciary with the new title, recommending do pass Holm, Samuels, Ogg, Grunberg, and McGuire. The report was signed by McGuire Chair. There's two committee substitutes.
Mr. Bureau Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 24 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary Committee substitute before us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for House Bill 24 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 24 Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to Intergovernmental Agreements with the Federal Government Regarding Management of Fish or Game in the State.
Representative Wyrock, under debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The beginnings of this bill started when the federal government declared Glacier Bay to be a national park and monument. Alaska Wildlife Alliance versus Jensen was a case which was first decided in the Alaska District Court, then the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which held that there was no prohibition against commercial fishing in Glacier Bay National Park under ANILCA, but the federal government by regulation could adopt regulations prohibiting it. After the Park Service adopted a plan and a process to develop regulations prohibiting commercial fishing in Glacier Bay, Senator Ted Stevens introduced a bill closing commercial fishing in Glacier Bay in certain areas and restricting commercial fishing to halibut, tanner crab, and troll salmon in other areas of Glacier Bay, and giving fishermen who had could prove they fished there a lifetime access permit to continue fishing in Glacier Bay for the rest of their lives and eventually close it, and then gave compensation to other people, businesses, and entities harmed by that commercial fishing closure. Senate Bill 501 became law under then-Senator Frank Murkowski, which required co-management agreements to be entered into between the National Park Service and the state of Alaska on managing commercial fishing in the outside waters of Glacier Bay National Park. When House Bill 24 was originally introduced, it was introduced to prevent the state of Alaska from entering into any co-management agreement with the federal government if that co-management agreement ceded any jurisdiction to the state and required legislative approval to do so. As that bill went through the process, Mr. Speaker, particularly in judiciary, and receiving comments from representatives from District 23, District 20, and District 36, it became apparent that the broader issue and concern was that the state of Alaska not cede its jurisdiction by contract to the federal government over management agreements on fish and game. Therefore, Mr. Speaker, what this bill does is it does not authorize the state of Alaska Commissioner of Fish and Game to enter into agreements with the federal government if those agreements cede jurisdiction over our fish and wildlife resources to the federal government. It's critically important, Mr. Speaker, that the state of Alaska retain its management and jurisdiction authority over our resources and have the ability to prohibit it from happening by contract. And I urge your support on this bill, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Wyrock. Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? The question before the House is the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 24, Judiciary. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
34 yeas, 0 nays.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 24 Judiciary unanimously. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 155 by the House Rules Committee by request of the governor entitled An Act Relating to the Submission of Payroll Information by Contractors and Subcontractors Performing Work on a Public Construction Contract and Providing for an Effective Date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 155, Labor and Commerce. Recommending do pass, Lynn, Dahlstrom, and Anderson. No recommendation, Gatto. Amend, Crawford and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Anderson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 155, Finance, with the new title attached to fiscal note. Recommending do pass, Meyer, Hawker, Chenault, Whitaker, Williams. No recommendation, Stoltz, Jewell, Croft, Moses, and Harris. The report was signed by Harris and Williams, co-chairs. There's two committee substitutes.
House standard ease. The House, please come back to order. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we please revert to the introduction of guests?
Without objection, we'll move up the calendar to introduction of guests. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce in the Peratrovich Gallery a gentleman who is really not a constituent of mine, but he's a constituent of my friend from downtown Anchorage. And with the body's permission, he is one of the executives with the Special Olympics, and they are in the process of seeking to do a large facility for the Special Olympics in my district. So I've been working with him, and he's a very fine gentleman, Mr. James Bellamacy. Please help me welcome him.
Further guests? Seeing none, Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 155 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is a call placed on the House. I'd say while satisfying the call, we could do something, but we can't. Unless you want to debate the motion to adopt the Finance Committee substitute. Okay. The call has been removed, at which point we can continue at least the adoption of the committee substitute. The Finance Committee. Is there objection to the adoption? Okay, without objection, then we have the Finance Committee substitute version of House Bill 155 before us. Madam Clerk, are there amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 155 Finance be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there an objection to going to third? No objection. Without objection, we are in third reading. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 155 Finance, entitled An Act Relating to the Submission of Payroll Information by Contractors and Subcontractors Performing Work on a Public Construction Contract, Requiring a Notice of Work by Employers on Public Construction Contracts, Providing for the Withholding of Final Payment for Public Construction Contracts, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Under debate, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The sponsor asked me to carry this bill on the floor today, and it's pretty simple. It has to do with payroll submissions by contractors for public projects to the Department of Labor. We changed it a little in the Labor and Commerce Committee, changed the fee requirement from a $100 fee per contractor and subcontractor to a 1% fee paid by the primary contractor. 1% of the project's cost, up to $5,000 per project. And if the project is $25,000 or less, you would not have to pay the fee. And a notice of work documentation must be submitted prior to the construction project. And then once the project is completed, a notice of completion is also submitted. And we had thorough debate in Labor and Commerce. The key to the bill, and I think the key to the changes we made in a positive vein, is that it'll increase funds to the Department of Labor and helps with revenue generation to the amount of $1,150,000 per year. That's the estimate. So I urge your support, and I think this is positive. I recall
the Associated General Contractors testifying in support of the bill, and again, I urge your support.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Further debate? Representative Crawford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When we first saw this bill, I was very concerned about it. There were parts of the bill that I didn't want to see go through, but through a lot of hard work from a number of people, most of the egregious parts of this bill have gone away, and now I feel like we can pass this without too much heartburn. So I know that's kind of a backhanded praise, faint praise, but it's no longer an egregious bill, so I will rise in support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Crawford. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Well, this is a tax, and it's a tax without any particular revenue. We heard that it's going to generate $1 million of revenue, but I don't see how. This is a 1% of contract price on public construction contracts. So we're going to tax the contractors, and then we're going to pay the contractors so they can pay us the tax. So this is just cycling money. It doesn't generate new revenue. It just seems to me that when the administration wants to make a tax proposal, it ought to create a tax proposal that actually injects money into the equation rather than just washing it.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Is there further debate? You ready for the question? The question before the House is the passage of committee substitute for House Bill 155, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does anyone wish to change their vote? Clerk, tally the board.
29 yeas, 9 nays.
And so the House has passed committee substitute for House Bill 155. Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on committee substitute for House Bill 55, Finance, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the passage of the bill will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause, thus adopting the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill 195 by Representative Roekberg, entitled An Act Relating to Coverage Offered Under an Individual Policy of Health Care Insurance and Providing for an Effective Date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 195, Labor and Commerce, with the new title. Attached to zero fiscal note recommending do pass, Lynn, Gatto, Dahlstrom, Roekberg, Anderson. No recommendation, Crawford and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Anderson, Chair. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 195, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, recommending do pass, Seaton. No recommendation, Coghill and Wolf. Amend, Wilson. There's one committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 195 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute before us. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to ask a couple of questions that may lead to an amendment, if I may. I have, two questions for the carrier of the bill, the sponsor of the bill. Number one.
Just a point of order.
Mr. Majority Leader, your point.
Is there an objection to the advancement of the bill before us?
Yes,
under this motion.
At this time,
right.
Because I would like to ask a couple of questions. Okay. Number one, things like mammographies and cervical and prostate screening charges, I understand that these will be eliminated as mandates. Am I correct? That's my first question. And my second question relates to page 2, lines 20 and 21, where it talks about that a person may accept as defined, for a federally defined eligible person or a TAA eligible individual, a person may not be covered by the state plan if the person is eligible to be covered by veterans' benefits. And people who have been veterans may technically be covered by veterans' benefits, but may have an extremely low priority. And my question is, would they be excluded if they have a very low priority? And I'd appreciate the answer to those two questions.
Representative Rugberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In reference to the first question, the first section of the bill does remove all health care mandates from this new policy, which would be only for individuals. However, it allows, of course, for these to be optional and be underwritten individually. Therefore, that's the distinction this bill makes. It allows a insurance underwriter to create a product that would allow the individual purchaser to make that choice rather than to have it mandated by legislative fiat. So the answer to the question is yes, but. So the flexibility is there. Regarding the second question, I believe these are conforming amendments with federal statute. I was looking in my rearview mirror for confirmation. And that's the nature of this, because it's a federal law that allows the availability of the RHEA program to be accessed by those individuals that qualify under the federal requirements for reimbursement in the Federal Trade Adjustment Act. Provisions. So I think that's a requirement of their that's their federal statute, and as well as meeting our needs for the ACHEA eligibilities.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do not know whether the bill is going to advance today, but I'm not going to offer an amendment on those points at this point, with the understanding that if it does go to third, then I may ask to go back up.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Referring to Section 1, there's a lot of statutes that are referenced there. I was wondering if I could just get confirmation. Basically, it's the sponsor's intent that the following items not be recovered. In 2142.353, that's coverage for acupuncture. 355 is cost of services provided by nurse midwives. 363 is eye care under health insurance. 365 is coverage for treatment of alcoholism or drug abuse. 375 is coverage for mammograms. 380 is coverage for treatments of phenylketonuria. 385 is dental vision and hearing coverage. 390 is coverage for treatment of diabetes. 392 is requirements relating to dental care coverage. 395 is coverage for prostate and cervical cancer detection. I mean, it seems to me that this is a really sweeping proposal. And I'm well aware of the Rules Chairman's feelings about some of those issues. And have a question. It is really his intent to remove the requirements of all the for treatment of all those items I mentioned.
Representative Rugberg.
Mr. Chairman, this is interesting to be debating the bill under second reading. But the reading of Section 1 is clear. The mandates for those particular provisions are under the language and intent of the bill be removed for individual policy only and reoffered as options. That is the intent here. The idea is to lower health insurance costs to individuals who may not otherwise be able to afford a health insurance policy. Mr. Chairman, I think we're under second, and I'm looking for any, if there has been objections to the motion.
The
motion was to advance the Labor and Commerce Committee, and the issue under discussion just previous to that would reflect on whatever version we came forward. So I would reiterate the motion is to advance the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. It was under objection, as I understand it.
There was no objection to the advancement of the Labor and Commerce version. We have adopted it in second.
right.
We were under the motion whether to go to third.
All right.
And there were some questions that were being asked prior to the advancement to third in the event that there may be, as a consequence of the response, an amendment offered. And as such, there is an amendment being prepared. So while we are awaiting that amendment, we will take entities. House, please come back to order. Prior to the entities, we were waiting on amendments being duplicated. Those have been duplicated and are on the members' desk. So without further ado, Madam Clerk, do we have amendments?
Number one by Representative Guerra to page 1, line 13.
Representative Guerra.
Mr. Speaker, I would request that amendment number 2 be debated first. It would, if it passes, resolve amendment number 1. Make amendment number 1 unnecessary.
There's an objection.
Mr. Speaker, I'm withdrawing amendment number 1 for now.
Is there an objection to taking up amendment number 2 prior to amendment number 1? Without objection, then, we will take up amendment number 2 and keep amendment number 1 on the desk for further consideration, if necessary. Madam Clerk.
Amendment number 2 by Representatives Berkowitz and Curtula to page 1, lines 5 through 12.
I move amendment
2. Mr. Minority Leader.
I move the amendment. Mr. Speaker, there's a lot of statutes that are being, not exactly repealed, but notwithstood. And I just want to, I haven't had a chance to go through them all. This is a very complex thing that's being affected through the bill. Addressing removal of requirements that individuals be afforded the opportunity to have coverage for certain ailments. And just I was able to focus on one particular item in 2142.392, which is requirements relating to dental care coverage provisions. I want to be clear here that we're not talking about group insurance. We're talking about individuals getting insurance. And this body has over time said that certain ailments should automatically be part of coverage. Under this section, an individual who tries to purchase dental insurance is not going to have the protection afforded under subsection A1, which would prohibit a covered person. I mean, currently, statute says that the insurance company can't tell you which dentist to choose. If we do a notwithstanding, the insurance companies would have the ability to tell an individual which dentist to choose. And I don't think that's what the consumers of Alaska want. I don't think that's what healthcare in the state should be all about. People have the right to choose their own treatment and their own physicians, their own dentists, and just focusing on this one provision. And if you give me more time, and if all of you take advantage of more time, you might look through the statutes that are affected and see what other problems exist. But I'm very leery of making this huge sweeping change without having full and adequate discussion about it. This is the health care of Alaskans we're talking about, and we oughtn't do it just randomly without a lot of thought.
Mr. Minority Leader, Representative Sisna.
I rise actually quite reluctantly in support of this amendment. And my reluctance is that I both have congratulated and been very appreciative of the thinking that went into this first section. Not because it eliminated mandates, because this is very problematic when you do exactly what this is, but it has been on paper. It appears to be a very creative way of dealing with a problem that I guess some of us who've been looking into the issue of through the cracks, and they're middle class, they're working Alaskans that are really in jeopardy right now, in all these small communities facing all kinds of things, to not be able to afford health care is catastrophic to an entire family and an entire community. And the fixes that we have, and there's another bill going through the that's working its way through the House, it's doing same thing, incremental fix. This could be one of those little incremental fixes that could deal with a somewhat small group of people, but nonetheless a group of people who need health insurance. The bill has come through two committees. The hearing process in each of those committees was very short. Very few people testified. Yet this Monday, at a meeting that I had with more people representing a wider spread, insurance, private providers, people affected by insurance, in Anchorage, I asked, okay, this bill is coming to the floor. What kind of recommendations would you give on this bill? And I got some people who thought it was a great idea and a number of different ideas of what kinds of problems there might be with this bill. The people that I've talked to think it's something we ought to be talking about, but that discussion was not fully blown in the committees. We have not touched on the things I've heard in the at-ease that have come up, different ways of looking at the problems that could be in this one little section. It could be a fix. But second half of this bill is extraordinarily important, and it does need to get through. So I rise in support of amendment number one, not because I don't think we shouldn't be looking at this, but because I don't think we should be looking at it on the floor without having a much broader discussion on it. Thank you.
Is there further debate on amendment number two? Representative Roquebrune.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I appreciate the debate. I'm sure I'm warming the cockles of the heart of the minority leader today by having a floor debate on some substantive nature of the issue. But let me answer his first criticism of the bill, that by looking at these multiple repealers there, that might be doing the typical legislative thing. We're having unintended consequences. And he brings up the issue of removal of choice from the selection of a dental health care provider. Well, Mr. Speaker, I think if I stand proudly on this floor, and give me the, if, with your leave, talk about something that happened here in the past, by leave of the chair. That is the authorship that I was able to provide under the Alaska Patients Bill of Rights that provides specifically for that choice as an overriding authority under AS 2107. So that is a red herring. And I want to assure the members of this body that I think there's nothing antithetical that'll happen here. As to the issue of what we're doing in the time that the member from